Live at 5?
Live right now, live on Morningwood Radio. We are live with Jason Marshall, who is the fastest erg athlete in the world. Mr. Jason Marshall and your host, as always, Hunt the Sheriff, a.k.a. Hunter McIntyre. How are we doing today?
I'm good, dude. We're standing in front of a star, Brian. I don't know if you know how incredibly starstruck I am right now, but this is probably the most powerful man in the world.
I was looking at his the fastest row time, and I was like, for High Rocks, I was doing 1,000 meters in 4 minutes, and this guy did another 1,000 in like a minute after that. All in a minute. Five minutes? 5 minutes, 32 seconds?
No. Okay. I got to correct you guys on some stuff. So when it comes to rowing, I am definitely not the fastest when it comes over to a 2,000 meter. There are some Olympic athletes out there that can crush my time. But when it comes to the ski erg, I hold, I think, 5 world records. So
That's good enough for us, dude. That's good enough for us. Dude, you also just won that rogue challenge.
I did. I'm actually wearing the t-shirt. So
no big deal. Yeah. Dude, overall, that's what I wanted to put out there for the audience. Overall, you are the best erg athlete in the world. I don't know. If we put you in a dogfight with Hamish Bond, that might be hard.
Oh yeah, no. Well, he'll crush me on the bike and the row. So he's actually one of the guys I look up to when it comes to, especially with the rowing. He's a beast, and he's proven it being a multi-Olympic gold medalist. You know, he's an amazing athlete.
Dude, have you ever seen his assault bike? Like his just posts of his assault bike things.
Yeah. So him and I went back and forth a little bit when he got onto the assault bike, kind of asking like, "Hey, what are the best times? Like, how do you verify these results or whatnot?" And anyways, he did like a 1,000 calorie challenge, and I think his time was like 48 minutes or something. Gross. Absurd. Yeah, crazy.
But he's 6'7", isn't he?
Or something like that. I don't know. He's a tall man.
How tall are you?
6'3". Well, probably a bit shorter now, but yeah. At one point, I was 6'3".
Okay, yeah. I was 6'2". 6'2" and a quarter, and then I think over time with all the weightlifting, I'm down below that. But what I do now is I hang upside down every single day for 15 minutes, and it's giving me my height back. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you do that at all, but dude, I swear to you, I've also not been injured since 2017.
Knock on wood. You
know, that is good. Well, I used to play rugby, and I was a prop, so I think that the act of scrummaging literally shrunk me an inch or so. So, you know what? I bet we're about the same size these days.
What position is a prop?
It's like right, you know, the scrum when they get together. I'm like literally right at the front. And
you're the dead center guy. That's like the ball's just over.
Well, that is the position. That's number two. That's a hooker. I'm the tight head prop. So I'll be right just to the right of them.
And Jesus Christ.
I guess the best way they describe it is like I'm the nail, and everyone behind me is the hammer. So I'm
just jamming you into the other team.
Exactly. Yeah.
Dude, so we always ask our guests this because our show is Morningwood Radio, and I believe in the energy of the morning. What gets you up in the morning? What's your thing?
Well, nowadays it's my kids. But before, you know what, when I was into my good training routine, like I had this goal of like, hey, look, I'm going to wake up early. Usually it's around like 5:30 or so, and get my my cardio training done for the morning.
Yep.
And just the thought of like, you know, coming down into my garage, I guess, or gym, and getting in like a good 30 to 45 minutes of like hard work. And then, you know what, I'm done for my cardio for the day, but then realizing like, hey, look, there's a lot of people that haven't even woke up yet. And I'm like, and I've done the hard yards so far. So like, that's the type of like motivation that kind of kept me going in the morning and stuff. Just knowing that like, hey, I'm putting in the work when a lot of people aren't yet. So
you got your ski erg in the background.
Yeah, I know. I thought it was a fitting background. So yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Ryan wants one of those for Christmas really bad. Yeah. So if you know, if you have a inside loop,
and you know someone.
Santa, like really excited.
You know what? Just look maybe a month after New Year's when everyone purchases them for their New Year's resolution and then realize they don't like them. Yeah, find them a marketplace.
You're like, I actually have to try hard on this thing. This thing is tough.
Oh, I'm buddy. I'm buddies with Greg, who works at Concept 2. Have you ever met that guy?
Well, not in person, but yeah, I've chatted with him over line and stuff. Yeah, he's a great guy.
He's super supportive. Like anytime I've been going for something, he'll just send me equipment on it. He's just like, yeah, dude, yeah, as long as you fucking put this thing to work, cover it in sweat, it's all yours. And I'm like, deal. Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah, he's a good dude. Yeah, he's awesome. And he's actually, he's an ex-rugby player as well, actually. So yeah, there you go.
He's a Vermont boy. Yeah. So let's just get some stats. Let's just get some football stats, NFL style. So you're 6'3". Let's go with that. What's your weight at?
Right now, about 225.
225. When you're in your best shape, what's your weight at?
Probably 225. Yeah. Yeah,
oh, right, you're right, in yeah, champ shape. Champ
He's
shape.
In it right now.
I might look good, but I'm not. Trust me, I'm not in my champ shape at the moment.
Let's get some more stats. What would you assume your body fat is?
Mm. Oh, you know,
under 10.
But no, no, no. I have to work hard to get to do that, like real hard. But I'm saying between like 12% and 15%. I'm assuming.
All right, we're gonna go average 13%. Let's just give you a good old 13-er. Let's get some power lifts here. What are you putting up on the bench, baby? Come on, you got huge
okay,
arms.
Again, I'm gonna try and give it like what I am now and what my best ever was. So like okay, back in the day, like I could do 405
Woo!
On the bench. Damn. But nowadays I'm just trying to get by, and I'm like I won't try and go over 275. I'm just keep it at that and don't want to try and injure myself. I've literally tore or tweaked my pec two or three times. Yeah. So yeah, and I find the ski erg, although I love it to death, it does like tighten up your shoulders and your pec, and I think because of that, I don't know, repetition, it's just kind of messed up this area a little bit. So
let's talk squat.
Yeah, but the best I've done is 500, but nowadays again I'm not going over 315.
Smart. What about dead?
Okay, sorry, best I've done in squat was 400, and then
what?
Yeah I got the long levers, man. Yeah, and I ask the grass, it's hard to do anything more than that. But
you do box squats? Dead.
I used to until like I have a really bad back, and the box squats actually I think made it worse. So I just focus on, I don't know, good technique or whatnot, and I'm just trying to go too heavy. And then I had so deadlift, most I've done is 500.
500, dude. I'm not gonna lie. I thought I can match you on most of these numbers. I thought you would just be beating the piss out of me.
No, I think we're twins.
Oh my gosh, so have you ever been an Olympic lifting guy at all?
A little bit, yeah. So like I was doing like cleans and whatnot when I was doing rugby. So I think the most I've clean and jerked was like 350.
Oh, that's and a then, lot.
Yeah, so like that was something more we'd be focused more on like explosive movements and not so much on like the static. Although I love squats and I love bench press and whatnot, but when it got into more of my top athletic form, is more just like explosive stuff.
So that's where you whoop my ass. My best clean and jerk was 297.
Yeah, it's nice getting to the three plates, but again, it's just like with when it's like two plates on the bench or three plates on the squat, it's just that benchmark. It just takes a long time to get there, but once you are there, it's just easy.
There's never a time where I don't put 275 on the bench and I'm able to just move it with my arms. Like I'm cool with that. I'm cool with no matter what, every single time I put 315 on the bar, squatted up and down, deadlift. I can deadlift 500 pounds just cold. But I like those numbers. And I'm at this point in my career, I don't think there's any point in me really going up. But I figured I'd ask you because of so many people, like I tell everybody high rocks. I don't know if you know much about our sport.
Somewhat, yeah.
So high rocks is – 8 stations. They take all like the world championship level and Olympic type sports and put them back to back with running around them. So the first one, skier, like Nordic skiing, bobsled for sled push, sled pull, strongman, rowing, obviously rowing, and then a couple calisthenic movements. I tell everybody it's basically just a power measure for an hour. Like what's your average watts that you can hold for an hour? And unless you're a certain size body, you're never going to be able to hold a certain size like level of watts.
For sure.
Yeah. Like I feel like, have you ever seen, there's this one guy in the UK who does a lot of ski erg and row records. He looks like a caveman.
Is it Lee? Like, is he really tall?
He's huge.
Yes, I think it's Lee. Or you know what? It's what's his name? Yeah, okay, anyways, yeah, I'll try and think of it, but
I just have you ever seen like when Brian Shaw breaks a 100-meter record?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like there's a certain amount of size that you're basically going to be able to tear that machine in half.
Well, and that's the thing, like especially when it comes to the ski, I think that's the one machine out of the three concept machines, and even the assault bike, if you want to include it, assault bike too, where the bigger you are, the more wattage you're able to put into it. Like again, with the row and the bike, a lot of it's like leg driven and leg based, but the ski is like really upper body strength and weight. And I guess you could say it's almost the same thing with the assault bike for the short distances.
Interesting. So I want to take this thing through like a real story here, because I want to get the whole inside scoop. Otherwise, I would just sit here like two stoners at the table, just kind of picking away all of the thoughts.
Conventional or sumo?
Head. Yeah.
Conventional sumo.
Would you?
Conventional. I don't do a whole lot of deadlifting because of my back, but I just thought I would do the. I'm not going to say the right way because everyone will get in an argument about that. But yeah, in the conventional.
No, we believe in conventional in this household. So let's just start from the beginning. Like, you're Canadian, like born and raised. Yeah.
Born and raised in Vancouver, British Columbia. So West Coast boy.
I heard the Surrey earlier, so I was like, I wonder.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder. Where? How old are you now?
38.
38, and you're still a beast.
I'm literally almost 30. I'm like turning 40 in like a year and a half. It's depressing.
Just out of curiosity, so you're about to turn 40, year and a half. When was the last time you set a world record?
It would have been the 5,000 meter, and that was, I think, 2 years ago. So I'd have been 36. I'm about 36.
So you're do you think if you wanted to go for one of those records right now and you had the time –
If I had the time, maybe. But again, like that's the whole reason I'm trying to keep. So my goal is to try and stay somewhat relevant for the next year and a half, because and with Concept 2 machines, they have like world records and then they have like age grade records.
Yeah.
So I have like obviously the overall for five of the workouts, but for when I turn 40, I get into that new category. So I want to try and get a couple of the age grade records and try and hold on to them for a while.
But just out of curiosity, I would say like so many of the people that are coming to these races that we go to are actually in that age bracket of 30 to 40. A lot of people in the 40 to 50 range. Like, let's just say if you put the work in, do you think right now your body could sustain world record pace?
Maybe. Like, again, it's such a hard question only because you just don't know what your body is capable of until you actually put it to the test. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't realize I could get to where I did. Like, you know, I'll tell you right now, I won't be able to beat my 30 minute world record just because I don't know how I got to that point. Because I've even just tried doing it for a short amount of time. I'm like, what the hell? How did I do that? But maybe like if I did put some time in that 2K world record, which is actually held by James Hall, Eddie Hall's older brother. He has a 2K record for the ski. Like I could maybe try and get to that level. Yeah. So it would take a lot of hard work. It's 5:57, I think. And the fastest I've done is 5:59. So kind of regret that one a little bit, but we're here now. Yeah.
It's right there. What was your background? Like, I mean, I see jerseys behind you. You got rugby stuff like that.
I've read up reading about you how I think you're saying how your parents put you in like every sport or whatnot through school or just trying to.
They messed me around, but they didn't take anything seriously at all.
Okay, it's kind of similar with my parents. They like put me in through all the sports growing up, and then I kind of gravitated towards football, and so I played football and rugby through high school. And then I got a scholarship to go play football at a local like university or college here. So I did that for 5 years. And then I was going to start my accounting degree, which I studied at a university. But thankfully, I had the opportunity to kind of go back to rugby. And then the Canadian coach kind of asked me to move over to Victoria, which is close, but that's where the national training ground is.
Yeah.
Got into rugby. Things kind of did really well in 2011, played for the Canadian team for the World Cup in New Zealand. And then from there, I got a professional contract to go over to France for pretty much 5 years. And down in New Zealand as well for a short stint. And then 2016 is when I retired from rugby and kind of came back home and got on to the fire department. And since then, I've just, that's pretty much the background.
Jeez, dude. Give me 2 seconds. I'm going to close this window. Ryan, can you switch the thing so we have different display?
Yes. Yep. Should be looking something like this. He's got that bright sunshine, Malibu. Oh, yeah.
Lucky boy.
Up at the top of the hill.
I'm in the grungy dungeon right now, the pain cave.
Dude, that's where it gets done. So when I was studying a lot about setting the world record a couple of years ago, I went and I studied rugby players, cross-country skiers, and I wanted to have the energy system and the power output. I wanted to have the energy systems of a cross-country skier and the power output of a rugby player. So it's interesting how you have gone from rugby to setting all these world records, which means I was onto something.
For sure.
When did you know that you had this power? Like, where did it come from?
Where was the switch where you're like, damn, I think I can actually do something with this. Like, I'm above average.
Yeah.
Like, so I've always been like a kind of a cardio guy. Like, even when I was playing football, I played quarterback playing football. So would run around, throw the ball and whatnot. But we'd do these like fitness challenges within the football team. And I'd do really well at them. I was pretty strong, did well on the bench press. But even the cardio stuff, we do like a shuttle, and I'd be one of the top guys. So I always kind of knew like my cardio was like my thing. But it wasn't until I got on with the fire department, and a guy challenged me to. He asked me, he's like, "Oh, I bet you can't do 1K on the rower under 3 minutes." I'm like, "Okay, well, I'll give it a shot." Anyways, I did it, although it wasn't very comfortable. It kind of got me interested. I'm like, I wonder what a good time is for a 1K. So I kind of went online, looked it up, realized I was actually not that far off or whatnot of what like a good time is. So then I started what's good time for a 2K and whatnot. So anyways, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to start training on the rower and realize, hey, I'm pretty good at this thing. And, and then it kind of just got me in this online community, which is like crazy how many people take this very seriously and are very involved, and kind of got a couple guys took me under their wing, you could say, and kind of just launched from there. And then I ended up buying this ski erg actually from a CrossFit competition that was in Vancouver, and it's like the leftover machines, and purchased that, brought it in here, and then realized pretty quickly I was good at that one too. So
Is that the same one?
It's the same one. Yeah, it's been beaten up pretty bad, actually. Yeah, so
that's incredible how that thing would last. I'm assuming you'd rip the arms off and everything.
Oh, I have replaced the string four times now, or the cord. Yep. I think there's over almost 5 million meters on it now. So yeah, it's been used and abused. 5 million. Yeah.
You got a better relationship with that thing than your wife.
I do.
dude. Two questions. Well, one to say with the rower thing, a year ago, I posted a video about what I call a fitness row versus Olympic row style. And in our kind of competitions, you don't want to do this full extension. Otherwise, it will blow out your hip flexors because you're just going event to event to event. And I've never gotten in a bigger fight with the online community of just a bunch of rowers ye piece of shit.
Oh, yeah. Man. I've had a couple of people message me and say I have to bring this up. So I know where you're coming from, and I've seen some of your videos. Like, what's your best 2K?
Go 607.
607. Like, that's a very, very, very respectful. I like 2K. Don't get me wrong, but I think with your build and your fitness and your strength, there's no way you can't get below a 555.
I think I can too. Admittedly, I've never put blocks of training in to do what you do. Like, I would have to actually sit there, do the intervals, do the work, look at the muscle groups, things like that. The reason why I encountered that statement at that time is if you do the row, which is just after the burpee broad jumps, your hip flexors are blown out. And then you're going into the next station. If you fully extend through your hips, it just catches. Like, you know what I'm talking about. If you get that last little inch right there.
Okay. I'm going to tell you another thing. So I was in Toronto in Canada here for the World Rowing Championship back in February. Yep. And I literally watched the second fastest ever 2K performed live. It was by a German rower, Ollie. Zedler, so Zeidler. So anyways, when you watch him, he doesn't do the full back like that. He's actually quite upright. Like maybe there's a little bit of a bend back, but the thing I want to mention to you is, or at least I think is important, is that what he does though, or at least what you could say good Olympic rowing is that it's all about the catch. So when you're in that starting position, you keep your legs in a position where they're the strongest. You don't want to get your butt too close to your heels, because you're technically, it's hard to, let's just imagine trying to do the maximum amount of squat you can do. Very difficult to do when you're literally your ass is to your heels. But how much better is it when you're literally past that like breaking point and you're almost like at the last half of a squat. So you almost always want to keep your legs in that last half of the squat and don't get too compacted. And
I'm getting good at rowing, there's that sweet spot where you catch it and it almost like springs you out.
Yeah, it almost feels effortless, right? Because you've done a good push, or pull or whatnot, you could say. But if you can keep it so your legs don't get too compressed and you're able to keep that strong squat position, and to do that, you hinge the hips forward and reach forward. And then the best advice I got was actually off of Reddit when I was like learning how to row, because that's how I like literally learned from just watching Olympic rowers on YouTube or whatnot, is pretend that you're like sitting on a toilet, like reading a paper or something, like how you're like kind of like lean forward when you're on the toilet. And like that, it's a weird description, but actually it literally worked. So, and I'm like, holy mackerel, like it like literally went from like a good roll, like a good rower to a really good rower just with that like one movement. So
yeah, it's like Olympic lifting, dude. Like if you get the bar just like an inch in front of you, it's infinitely more heavy. That positioning is such a humongous thing. And I'd like to dig more into that kind of stuff too, but we have all these questions popping up on the side. One I want to ask you, and I asked you this the other day, what was your acid bath time?
Oh yeah, so I've tried it three times.
Can you tell us what an acid bath test is first?
Oh yeah, you go ahead.
Oh yeah, so it's a CrossFit workout, and it's the three concept machines, and then in a specific order where they do the ski, row, bike, and it's 500 meter ski, 500 meter row, 1,000 meter bike, and do it as fast as you can. And I think the key to that is is the actual order, that you have to do it in that order to be an official acid bath. Because I know some people like to go row first, because like to try and go from ski to row, there's quite a bit of a transition time. But anyway, so the fastest I've done it is a 4 minutes and 31 seconds. Like you'd say it's unofficial because my timer didn't time it properly, or like the clock didn't sync properly, but I went off of my recording and that's what I got.
Which has to mean that you're going in the 120s, because there's a good 3 to 4 second transition between all of those and then getting up to speed.
Yeah. So like my ski, I think it was like, I'm at like 128 for all three, or just I try and keep it. So like, it's close. And then my transition from the ski to row is like, I try and make it's something you have to almost practice for this one. Like you have to have like the straps perfectly open, so you can just literally slip your feet in. I don't even waste time trying to strap my feet in or like just tighten it, because that's again another 2 seconds. And then from the bike or the ski or the row to bike, you have to have the pedals perfect so that you literally jump on and you're already pushing and you're already getting it going. So there's definitely some tricks and tips for that one for sure. And and luckily I used it for the enduro challenge for Rogue. That was identical set up in terms of like the order, but just it was 2,000 meters each one, or 2,000, 2,000, 4,000.
What is that, the most money you've ever made competing?
Well, other than rugby, I guess it was in terms of online competition for sure.
How big of a check did you get cut?
It was 2,500 US, so it ended up being like $1 million Canadian, and then I'm joking,
a billion loonies and toonies.
And then they sent me a Rogue bike, an Echo bike, which I wanted to keep, I couldn't, so I ended up selling that one too. So yeah, I'll purchase it back when I get a bigger space.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah. That's even crazier. It's just a longer version of Acid Bath. So you're playing rugby, you get on the machines, and then where between getting on the machines to like being like a real world record holder, how long was that transition?
So like I was introduced to the rower while I was playing rugby. So I think it was like back in 2014 when I kind of really like this one trainer in New Zealand was like, hey, this is the machine we use to get fit. Get you guys fit. So that was back in 2014, and then I obviously incorporated it from then until I stopped playing rugby. And then like I was saying, with that challenge of the fire department, it's like, hey, can you do this, which I did. And I don't know where I'm going with this, but
I was just asking, so when you got started.
So like I retired from rugby due to injury, so I always had that competitive nature, and it still was within me. And yeah, I was like living with my wife, didn't have any kids at the time. I'm like, look, I need like some type of goal, fitness goal or whatnot. And looking at these times, I'm like, I'm just going to train for these specifically, and that's what I'm going to do. And so literally from 2017 till, I guess, till now, that's literally all I've been doing is using these ergs.
And when did you set your first world record?
Oh, I've been in 2019, I think. Yeah, on the ski erg. Yeah, I think it was a 30-minute piece.
And what was your average pace?
It was like a 1:41, I think. But then I broke it again. I pretty much started just beating myself. Then I went down to like a 1:39.5, and then my best I've done on the 30-minute is a 1:38 flat.
Dude, have you seen the marathon record? Because I thought I was going to go for that, because it was 1:47 for a bit by a Chinese guy.
Yeah, so you actually that's the first time you contacted me, are we kind of online there? I don't know how it came about. Oh, actually, you know what it was? So I saw you do a video. I think you're doing like a 100-meter, 200-meter test, like fast you can do on the ski, and you're wearing your sunglasses, and they went flying. Anyway, that's actually the first video I've seen of you. Anyway, so I'm like, I'm gonna give this a go. But anyway, one thing led to another. Yeah, I wrecked my shoulder actually. So anyways, yeah. So anyway, I think we started contacting me a little, or we chatted a little bit, and you're saying, oh, I want to go for it. And anyways, I think I held it at the time. It was a 2 hours and 29 minutes and 50 seconds. And
you held the marathon record?
I did, yeah. Actually, if you actually look, these are like all my little world record. I have to update them, but it's since been broken by a Finnish guy, I believe.
I thought it was Norwegian.
Yeah, Norwegian. Yeah, is Andreas Nygaard. He beat it. I actually watched the entire race. He like streamed it live, and he was like literally in a lab. He had like a team of like five guys, like feeding him water and like whatever he needed to be fed to be this machine. Like,
how big is he?
He's tall. Yeah, I think he's like six. He looks like he's 6'4". But the thing with him, he's not like muscular big, although I'm sure he's like a very fit individual. I know he is, because he's like literally one of the best cross country skiers in the world. So his rate. So my rate when I did it was like 36. For the entire, like, it does like a slow power rate. His rate was like 45 or something like that. It was like crazy. Like, I couldn't imagine. Like, it was insane.
Yeah, because that's how I studied my rate. I would study the stroke rate of basically what these guys were doing in skiing, and then I tried to match it. I wanted to go for the Olympics for paddling a while ago, last year. Literally this time I was in a boat trying to practice to go to the Olympics. And I just studied the amount of stroke rate these guys were doing in a race. And then I was like, okay, how many strokes is that over this many minutes? And I got the exact amount of strokes. And then I was like, how do I increase the most amount of power for every single stroke? So I was like a total super nerd about this stuff. I was like, science.
No, I appreciate that. Yeah,
awesome. I mean, you have to be. But so if you did 2:29, what was your average pace for that?
I think it was a 146.5, I think, or something like that. Yeah.
And I think this guy's a 143 now, that Andreas guy.
No, well, he beat it by a minute and 40 seconds, I think. So, like, he was like, the most impressive thing about that whole thing, because again, I watched the whole thing, he kind of kept that same pace, what pace I did for the first 2 hours. And literally in the last half an hour, he brought it down to like a 142, which is for like half an hour, which is like, not a lot of people can do that just for half an hour, let alone at the end of a 2 hour race or at the end of a 2 hour session. So it was crazy.
Wow. So this is where we're going to start to get really nerdy. And if anybody wants to disconnect from the show, you're more than welcome to. But I need to ask these questions because they've been sitting in my heart for too long. So, like, first of all, we're going to start here. What do you think the most impressive record is right now in the world amongst all of the ergs?
Oh, that's tough. I'd have to say this, a 2,000-meter row. Like
row itself.
Yeah, it has to be. Yeah, because it's like, I think it's like a 5 minute and 38 seconds or something like that. I don't know, or 36 seconds, I think. It's like so insane. It's like you're literally holding, I don't know what the wattage is for, I think it's like a 136 pace, 36.5 pace. I don't know what the wattage is, but it's like insane. It's like a six, maybe, I'm just throwing out there, maybe 600 watts for 6 minutes, but it's crazy.
Yeah. Dude, I don't remember the name of the guy. He was from New Zealand. His name started with a B, I think. He used to hold the world record at like a 548 or maybe a 538. I don't know what it was. But he was also the first person to break a 5K on the rower. Huge guy. I think he had like a 7 liter lung capacity.
You know what? I wish I wrote down all the names of like the best rowers and stuff because I know who they are. It's just not coming to me. It's too early in the morning, I guess. But like I know Hamish.
Yeah, Hamish Bond.
Yeah, Hamish. He like I think his is like he's on like the 540s. Like he's up there too. So he's a impressive individual.
Have you ever seen those memes where the two people are in bed? It's the man and the woman, and the woman's thinking like he's thinking about all these other girls. And I'm just on my side, just like thinking of like big men on rowers and stuff. I'm like, So cool.
I've been there for sure, definitely.
Dude, that's what girls think we're thinking about. I'm like, nah, you're wrong, dude. I'm thinking of some random Canadian dude who's skiing really hard right now in his basement. So you think that's the hardest one. Where, like, for you, did you start to spike your capacity really big? Like, obviously, you had this amazing base. Like, you're a monster. You've got a really solid body build for this thing. You've got a great background of planks. Did we lose you?
No, I'm. I see ya.
Yeah. You had a really solid background in basically what you were doing for, you know, with rugby sports. Where all of a sudden did you see the spike? Like, was it volume? Was it weights? Was it core training? Was it intervals?
Yeah. So, again, a complex question, but so again, when I was playing rugby, when I finished, I was like literally 270 pounds. I was like a
270?
Yeah, I was – no, 265, sorry. Like I was a big boy.
That's still massive.
Yeah, yeah. And it was more forced upon me just because of the position I was playing. I needed to be a big guy. And it wasn't achieved through like ways I'd wanted into it. Like I had to eat like constantly. It was like I literally get acid digestion like daily. It was just brutal. I didn't enjoy being that big. It was uncomfortable. Like my sleeping was brutal. So when I finished, I realized, hey, look, I'm going to lose this weight, go back to what I was prior to having to gain all this weight. And in the process of doing that, obviously became kind of a fitness junkie and learned, and I ran into stumbled across Nick Bear. I don't know if you're so like he just found him on YouTube and he was putting out this program called Embrace the Suck. It was like this new program he was just testing out, I guess, and it was a free download. So I'm like, okay, I'll try it. Like I need something else to do. And it was literally every single day. It went like before I was doing like a 4 days a week I'd work out and be happy with that. But with his program was literally 7 days a week and you're doing something. So I'm like, I'll give it a shot. I don't think I can do it because that's like a lot of volume. But anyways, not playing rugby, like I was able to obviously recover well because I take my eating seriously and I take my sleep pretty seriously as well. So anyways, got through this program and literally got in like the best shape at the time I've ever been in because of it. And yeah, so that kind of like be realized, hey, look, I can like get away, or I'm able to do all this volume, which then started incorporating all the ergs and stuff. And so again, when I was probably maybe 34, 35, that's like where my peak, where I literally peaked in terms of like my physical fitness, because I like just, you know, trained super hard. Because I was doing like so focused on my rest and my nutrition, I was like focusing more on like high intensity workouts a lot, where a lot of people would be like, oh, you can only do one a week, and you have to do the rest like, you know, zone two. But I was literally trying to do like four or five like red zone workouts a week. And I was able to get through it, although I obviously injured myself along the way from time to time. But that's where I literally saw like each month I was like getting faster and faster and faster. And yeah, kind of came to a head, but I just kind of, yeah, just got to a point where I couldn't get any faster, I felt.
How many hours a week were you training, you think?
Like on an ideal week, I'd be, oh man. So like I do cardio every day. Like I'd be on an erg every day, and I maybe do four weight sessions a week.
That's right, Rage Donkey.
What's that?
So nothing. I'm just kidding around.
So on the days I'd only do ergs, I'd be an hour plus a day on an erg. But for the days when I'm splitting them, I'd be able to do half an hour. So I don't know. I would say I'm doing, I don't know, like I'm 8 hours a week, 9 hours a week, maybe.
Wow. Dude, I'm doing like 18 to 25.
Yeah, that's a crazy amount of volume. I would not be able to do that. Like, yeah.
Well, the thing is like one of the best things that I ever did in my career, and I have to do it certain times a year. Most people listening to this, like, they won't get it until they do it. Like, I have a lot of people that come into our training programs and they'll buy one of our training cycles and run it all year round. I don't know if you ever trained like this, but using periodization, like certain times of years to focus on certain things so that you can get to the next rung of the ladder. But unless you live in this rung for a while and fully develop it, you don't have the base of the structure to add another floor.
For sure.
And like I right now, well, just it doesn't really matter, but I'll be on the bike for 6 to 10 hours a week, and I'll just wake up in the morning, and I woke up this morning and I rode the bike at like a 2 to 2:10 pace for 30 minutes until the sun rose, and then I ran for 30 minutes. And then this afternoon I have my key workout, which will be, and it was not enough time this morning to really do a workout, but I'll have like a 90-minute to 2-hour workout. Tomorrow I'll have a 3 to 4 hour workout. Like you just keep on adding it up, and I just build this crazy amount of volume on top of it with like a lot of really base and low level strength, so that when I do the intensity and these huge pillars that I put like of interval sessions on top of this base, it can stand.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw, but the guy just set the world record for the marathon in Chicago, which is not an easy course.
Yeah. Was it like 2:02 or something like that? Or
no,
or
dude, two minutes and 35 seconds.
Two hours. Yeah, 2 hours. Yeah, that's what I meant. That's what I meant. Yeah, 2 hours. Yeah, 2 hours. Yeah.
2 hours, 35 seconds. And the dude was averaging 180 miles a week every single week for 4 weeks, 4 months leading up to this. And I told my buddy when I was on the bike this morning, and if you, it'd be crazy to think that they were averaging this fast of a pace, but dude, it's 6 miles an hour. 10 miles an hour average, 6 minute miles. He'd be running for 18 hours a week minimum. And
crazy.
If you go and study the Kenyans and watch what they do, dude, they're slow training. Their feet are dragging on the ground. They're not even running really. So I bet you the guy was in the mid 20s for training every single week of running. And then all of a sudden, boom. But it sounds like your version was like insane intensity.
Yeah, that's what it was. And it had to do with time too. Like if I was professional athlete and this is all I did, then I'd probably take a different approach. But full-time job, family, trying to have some type of a social life, and then it's like I'm trying to like just, I guess, quality over quantity, you could say. Like I'm not saying that what you're doing isn't quality, it's just like I needed to like, hey, this is my time, this is all I got, I gotta make the most of it.
I mean, dude, the reason why we bring people like you on the show is because if I only said what I did, it's just such a small sliver of the way the world works. And you have world records. I have world records. That's why we're on here chatting. Like, you whoop the shit out of me on stuff, and I want to learn. Dude, people aren't taking down notes. I am. I'm like, what the fuck does this dude do?
Hey, I got a question, Jason. When you're going through these training things and everything, are you indulging in any alcohol? Like, I know that there's some type of – there's some debate where it's like absolutely zero alcohol. It kills all gains, and other people have one or two, you know, throughout, you know, one
– How hard do you party, Jason?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, here's a like a funny fact. Or I don't know if it's that funny. Literally, the first time I broke the Skierg marathon world record, I had a pretty big night out the night before. So, but that's not normal or common. It was just yeah. I woke up in the morning, and again, I don't not drink alcohol because during my training sessions, because I actually find, if you do it in moderation, it like resets your body. You're like, I don't know. I know they say
psychologically.
Psychologically, it just gets you like less stressed or whatnot. And it just kind of like, in my opinion, just kind of like resets. And hey, I almost feel fresh again. But I know it's stupid for me to say that because you're literally, I'm probably hungover on the next day. But just in terms of like the following days after that, I find like, hey, look, I feel pretty good actually. So if I do like a long period of alcohol or no alcohol, which I actually do regularly, I don't drink that much, but I tend to get like a little bit anxious or a little bit like worn out mentally. And I find like, you know, going to have a night out with your friends or family, and it kind of just resets the clock a little bit, and like kind of, you know, we can start hitting it hard again. So that's kind of my approach to it. But I don't, don't drink a lot, but when I do, I usually have a good time.
Dude, this isn't compared to your world record, but it was a good day for me. I went out partying hard, and I had to pick up my brother the next day at West Point because they were doing the West Point 10K, and the West Point 10K was going off at like 7 a.m., and I was in Rhode Island. I partied all night long, drinking, total debaucherous behavior, got in the car and a pair of sweatpants that I took from the girl that I had gone out with, went down there, and then I ran the race in the sweatpants and beat everybody, and then
there you go.
It's like, yeah.
It works sometimes.
I still got that damn medal. Awesome. Dude, when you say you like went out and had a hard night, are you talking about like 4 beers or like 40 beers?
I'm a 0 or 100 type of guy. So
yeah. Same. Thank you for saying it. Yeah. Somebody needed to say it.
Yeah, I don't see me and my wife go out for a beer sometimes, but if I'm going for a night out, it gets substantial.
Because you're a rugby player, champ, Chunk Eye. Yeah. I miss you, brother. It's one of the top mans in fashion right here. I miss that dude. Out of nutrition, I mean, like, you have to be doing something right. Like, this is a mass gainer right here. I drink probably 3 mass gainers a day. Like, that's one of my secret formulas. Is there something that you have that is, like, kind of your pillars of what brought you to where you're at now? Like, you got to 270. You had to do something right to get there, and then you got back down to 225. You had to do something right to get there.
Yeah, so I'm like, my goal, or like, or my goal, my trick or whatnot is just consistency. Like, I'm like, when it comes to like diet nutrition, I'm like the most boring person in the world. I eat exactly the same thing every single meal. If I can, obviously there's times when I can't, but like on a perfect day, it would be scrambled eggs in the morning, for lunch, chicken and salad, for dinner, chicken and salad. Like, it's like, and then I'd be happy, but my wife hates it. So like, she makes me change it up here and there, but like that is literally what I eat. And like, I obviously spent a long time when I went from that 265 down to like went down to 225. I tracked all my macros. I learned learned about diet. And that's where I got a little bit nerdy with regards to like macros and micros and all that kind of stuff. So,
you're not eating any carbs.
No, well, I do when, how do I say it? Like, I love oatmeal, but like, that would be my only carb meal of the day. And then that would sometimes be between breakfast and lunch. I'd be like a coffee, especially at work, it's like our coffee break. That's when I'd have my
oatmeal.
Just out of curiosity, we're going to get a little scientific here. You're 230 pounds. I bet you in one of these VO2 max level workouts where you're doing the intervals for 30 minutes to an hour, you're burning well over 1,000 calories. And if that's almost entirely carbohydrates, a bowl of oatmeal ain't going to cut it. Like, how do you keep on going back to the tank every single day, five hard sessions a week?
You know what? I've asked that same question myself a couple times. So, like, I was saying, on a perfect day, I think I was averaging maybe 3,200 calories a day. Yeah. And yeah, I don't know what, a lot of people have asked me, like, how do you do that with like minimal like carbohydrates? I'm like, I actually don't know. Like, I don't, like,
that's a lot of eating chicken.
and well, that's a lot. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like, a lot of times I'm doing my cardio in the morning on like fasted state. So I'll have my 1 liter of water. I'll do my stretching. I literally come down here and like crush, like just go full bore, like red session, and go back up and have my eggs and go to work. And that's what I do. But I don't know. I it's hard for me to answer that question because I literally don't know how I was able to do that.
That's crazy. Well, yeah, scientifically that doesn't add up.
I mean, no, like, it doesn't. And I know that. And I just, don't know.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if you had done things a little bit differently, your records could have been more substantial. Or maybe this is the weird thing that I don't get also. There's what I call lab science and field science. Some people like you, just doing what you're doing is what's necessary to get the world records. You don't listen to what everybody else says. You just listen to what your head tells you. And that level of confidence skyrockets you.
And then that's what I do. I guess it's one of my downfalls. I don't take the word of other people very like lightly, or in terms of like, I don't take it easily. Like if they tell me to do something, I'll question it. And because I'll be like, well, I've been doing it this way and it's been working for me. Why should I listen to you type of thing? Which is kind of a downfall. But it's my downfall. But I'm becoming, as I've matured, open to listening to experts and whatnot and realizing, hey, look, they're an expert. They've studied this. They've lived this. Like maybe I should listen to them. But now I'm old and I don't need to listen to anybody. So yeah.
I already did my damn work, boy. You don't tell me what to do.
Exactly.
So, is there anything? Take this with a grain lightly. I'm not trying to insult you by any means, but it sounds like you just kind of have that big guy strength. Like you used to be a thick boy, and when you used to be that heavy, you used to probably generate so much more power. You probably now have kept a lot of that power, but lost a lot of the weight. I'm not trying to diminish that you probably didn't do a lot of work to get where you're at, but was there something in the gym that transferred over big time to this, or is it just the fact that you were a really huge guy before and now you're a less huge guy with a better engine?
Yeah. So like growing up, I've always been like a bigger guy, like through high school and whatnot, but like my dad was a big gym guy. And so he kind of introduced me to weights at like an earlier age than most, I guess. And like you're saying how you kind of, I don't know, think about muscular guys. Like I was doing the same. Like I loved watching the strongman competitions when I was younger, and I loved watching the bodybuilding competitions. And like kind of just made me be like, hey, I kind of want to be like that guy. So I realized, my dad's like, well, if you want to be like that guy, you got to lift weights. So that kind of got me into like, hey, this is what I want to do. But like through rugby and getting to that big, I got like extremely strong. Like I think at one point, like the strongest I've ever been, like I was repping 315 on the bench for 10s and 12s. I was doing like I didn't do back squats then, but I did like front squats, and I was front squatting like well over 400 pounds. Like I got super strong. But as I started losing weight, the strength, an ego thing. I'm like, look, I can't ego lift anymore because like I'm literally losing all this weight and strength. But again, I felt like I was doing it in a healthier way where I was more focusing on these ergs, which I felt overall is going to be healthier for me in the long run.
If you could go back and talk to your younger self, is there anything you'd say before you got into this, you know, whether it be your rugby career or into these ergs, you'd be like, dude, do this. Like, hey man, check stretch. Out this. Maybe be a little stretch.
Yeah, man. My back is bad. Like I literally, when I wake up in the morning, I am like a cripple. So like, and I have to spend at least 10 minutes stretching my hips and my hip flexors and whatnot just to like walk around like a normal human being.
I hate that you say that because it's so true for me too now. I put on those mobility apps and I'll get into my sauna and I'll like try to like, oh, I have to like heat myself up now because I'm just like a rock of hard clay and it needs to like melt and become supple. And my back now, dude, if I pick up a box, like if you ask me to help you move, I could do a deadlift session more easily than I could help move you out of your house because my back is bad in the upper middle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where's your bad?
Right in the back, like the base of my back, my L4, L5. Like I have a herniated disc. Like I was like one of the reasons why like, I like had an MRI and whatnot, and they found like this pinched disc and led to a lot of nerve issues in my legs and whatnot. But
is it from rugby or is it from just pulling on the erg so hard you displaced?
No,
the
disc? No, it definitely came from rugby. That's how it like started, and then but weirdly enough, it like I got a couple cortisone shots in it, and it kind of like made it better and allowed me to kind of work my if I want to talk about younger self, a lot of core work and more no ego. Don't be an ego lifter, be a speed lifter, like more focus on speed and explosiveness if you want to be an athlete, then instead of trying to rep out or try and max out your lifts or whatnot, because again leads to injuries. And you can being a fast athlete is a more successful athlete in my opinion. But
I have this this device called Push. This is not a sponsored ad. It's a bar speed device.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of years I got that, and I stopped actually doing, like, the big like, back-bending lifts. I now try to do all my lifts at 0.8 meters per second. Like, you know, that's, like, the power band that they're looking for in elite lifting. And, like, I'll just do my deadlifts up to 0.8 meters per second. And I'm like, okay, this is pretty cool. Like, I got into the high threes for the deadlift very easily. Like my squat, not so much. I can get up to like 275 and still have that explosive power bench and stuff. And I love the device. Like,
That's something. If my sons want to get into athletics, that would be something that I'll be using. Could we use that during rugby as well as the bar speed device? And yeah, that definitely. If you kind of focus your training around that, is a more it's a better approach in my opinion.
Yo, dog. What's up? Where are we going today?
So guys, like right now, we're about to go get this bounty that I've been looking for a while. This guy is a true demon. He's been out here giving Hydra Builder to the kids, and I will not have that on my watch. So brought my bear mace. Let's go get him. I think he's right around this corner. I'm gonna go hard if I spot him. Hey, what's up, brother? Hey, yo man, stop! Don't make me have to bear mace you, dude. You had this coming.
What's up, man? Why'd you have to do that? Frickin' guys always trying to run away from the man. Check the pockets a little bit.
Oh, what do we have here?
If I had to guess. Yeah, it's Hydra Builder. Shit's good.
Woo! Got me another one, baby.
Dog the Booty Hunter. Don't mess around if you don't want to get bit by the dog.
Someone said, have you ever heard of Ben Patrick ATG programs? I'm assuming ass to grass programs. We don't know who that is.
I haven't, no.
Nah, sounds like a damn hack to me. No, I'm just kidding.
And ATG stretches is one where you're doing like a split squat and almost putting your knee over your toe.
That's like the knee over toe guy.
Yeah.
Oh, in terms of like technique-wise on the squat, like you're not trying to extend your knee past your toe?
What I'm referring to is not really with a barbell on your back at all. It's just more mobility. Like you're leaning forward and doing your stretching and hands on the ground just for balance.
Like to me, mobility is number one. And like, if you got to stay limbo you got to stay good.
I can tell you right now, like my piece of advice is get one of those mobility apps. Like it's just cheap and easy and it will force you to do it. It's like 15-minute routines. Because otherwise, I'm not going to be the person to do it. I'm not good at going to yoga class. Have you ever gone to yoga class and you feel like they're like tearing you apart like in a torture device?
Yeah.
It's fucking awful.
I stopped going.
I'm like, how are these women are like, ooh. And I'm like, help, please. They're like, touch your toes, goddammit, boy. I think the mobility apps are great. And I would say, man, even my advice to you, and be careful getting started on this because you're an extremist like me. Hang upside down with your boots and it will give you that length because like, you know, everything that we're doing is compression based. It's like into your ankles, into your knees, into your hips, into your back joints, into your shoulder joints. And I'll even hang stuff like hold plates and hang, and it will open up my shoulders and shit. It's really good.
No, I believe you. Like I have those. We have one of those inversion tables at the fire hall, but it's not in the hall I'm at the moment. But I do use it when I can, but yeah, not as regularly as you. I wish.
It's a crack. I got to ask you. So just for my own personal use, and I'm sure people will gain something from this. Like, I think I'm holding 136 to 138 on the ski during High Rocks World Championships. And then I'm doing like 140 to 145. So a 143 average at World Championships. I slow down a lot on the row and just kind of chill. Is there anything you would say, be like, hey man, like if you really want to get those things up, like this is the workout. This is the thing I would do. This is, I mean, it's the middle of an hour long race, but
yeah. And that's the thing, right? Like, I don't want to tell you how to do things. So I am familiar with your workout or like the workout, but I don't want to say you got to do this because you'll get better because it could screw you up. But like my biggest thing for like a longer workout is being able to generate a high output with a lower stroke rate. Yep. So if you want to save your legs or whatnot, possibly look into like bringing your rate down, but more focusing on like a power pull instead. So,
Were you able to keep your heart rate down like that though?
You can it depends. You gotta find that sweet spot, right? Like, when I go for a 2K PB, like my rate's up at like 35, and I know some guys, they won't go past like 31 or 32, which is a huge difference over like a 6 minute period. There's definitely some workouts I like. My favorite workouts on the rower, and like again, they're hard to do, but I find that you get the most benefit out of them are like the shorter intervals, like the 500 meter 1 minute rest, like times 10, like do it 10 times. Like, and if you're able to kind of, or 500 meters minute and a half rest, and yeah, if you're able to try and keep it around your 2K pace, like you're going to get a good workout out of it. So
when you do that workout, what are you holding? If you want to break, you want to hold 130 or less.
So like if I can hold 130 or less at a 500 meter, 1 minute rest for eight, I'll know that I can get a sub 6 2K.
All right, fine. I'm going to the gym right now, bro.
Yeah. Like, yeah. If that's my kind of measure. Like if you can, yeah. Like 500 meters, 1 minute rest times eight. If every one of those reps is 130 or less, like you should be able to pull under six 2K.
I'm ready. Not I think scared. You
give it a go.
Not even scared. Matt Ardeller wants to know, how long did it take you to build up this level of capacity? Like how many years from like your first workout to the point where you're like, I broke 6 minutes the first time?
Rugby gave me that huge base. Like that, like again, rugby game is like 80 minutes long of like literally just running around and sprinting around and whatnot. So I had a huge base coming into it. But I purchased an assault bike. It's actually my first machine before the rower, before all these other ones. And the assault bike is like, again, like that's what kind of got me to where I am now, through the base work I put in with that. And I literally spent a good year, maybe year and a half of just assault bike work. And then I kind of got into the rowing, and that's when it kind of transferred in. So like it took, I don't know, I'm going to say, again, I had a big base coming in, like, it would take, if you want to start from scratch, for 2-3 years.
Wow. What would you say? What was the difference between your stroke rate on the 30 minute record versus the 2K record?
For the ski?
This is from Piers PE. Yeah.
No. Okay. So for the ski, like I don't have the 2K record. I'm close off, but like my 2K stroke rate is like a 47.
Yeah.
And for my 30 minute world record, it was a 38, I believe.
Jeez. Okay, it's pretty substantial. What's the optimal drag factor for world records when you're going after them from Kivunes?
Yeah, so anything for my 5K world record was my drag factor was 125. And then for my 6K and up, it was like a 122, 120.
I don't even know what this means, but I'm excited.
you know what? If you're getting on the ergs, that's drag, finding out your drag factor is like one of the more important things to get your mind wrapped around, just because if you go use it, have a machine at home and you set it at like the 5 or 6 and you go to your gym, and set it at your 5 or 6, they're not going to be the same. Like there's going to be just wear and tear on one machine more than the other. You got to get, if you go into like the menu options and whatnot and find out what the drag factor is and start setting it on the drag factor, because again, the machine is going to be a little bit different. So you want to be trained constantly on the same drag factor for each machine.
Man, I didn't think about that at all.
Yeah, I know that.
That was an option.
Yeah. So you know what? Let me show you guys how to do it.
Sure. Yeah.
Let's do this. Let's do this from the best in the world.
We're going live here. Okay. One sec. All right. So let's see. You can see it here. Okay. Right, so
perfect.
So you go more options and display drag factor. So then you'll start going and it'll give you what it is. And then you just say, if I know I want to do a 122, I'll start going and then I'll adjust the flywheel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how you do it.
What damper number do you usually do most of your training on versus your records on?
Well, that's the thing. That's what we're talking about, is the damper drag factor. So that.
Okay. So, So you want that. And so you
want to get this to like a one. So like I'll adjust. So that's obviously my damper, but then the damper drag factor is like the same thing.
Oh, okay. So now I'm starting to get this. I thought there was something else going on.
No.
Nerdy stuff. Yeah, dude. I never touch the machines. It's like I do really love these machines, but I don't put enough emphasis on them. And I went to World Championships this year, and I started doing the ski erg, and I'm like, I'm freakish shape. And all of a sudden, my ab starts cramping up. And I was like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? I had to change the damper on it, and I actually got in trouble. But What's that?
Well, you guys should be able to set your own damper before the race, though, aren't you not? Or
we did, and I didn't think about it at all. But my abs started cramping, and I've never had my abs cramp before. And before I went to the World Championships, I did my friend's stepper class, and I'd never done one of those things. And I just went like balls to the wall pace because I was like, yeah, I'm just gonna do this for fun. It gave me like total bad psoas cramps, all this kind of stuff. But I've never, in training, dude, I never touch my damper at all. I leave it at 7.
Well, that's the thing, is like you'll do that at your, if you have one at home. So you do it at home, but if you go to a gym, like that one in the gym might have a bunch of dust in it or whatnot. So that 7 is going to be different than your 7 at home.
So I should be trying to go for a 125.
I would do 120 for your 1K. Yeah, 125 is a good damper. That's what I use. But again, everyone's going to be a bit different. Yeah, that's what works for me.
Well, dude, I'm going to put some serious work in. This conversation has inspired me a ton, and I've always wanted to get to know you better. I think what you do is absolutely awesome. I think there's going to be tons of people that are going to log into this podcast because ergs are 2 of the 8 stations in our event, and people want to get better, obviously, at these things. It tends to be, you know, a lot of people's kryptonite. So I'm really grateful that we got to know you at a higher level, man. Anything we can do to support. I'm having Ryan send you out some strength X2 so that you can trip. You're going to go back up to 265 again. Pure muscle. We're super excited to learn more from you, dude. And if there's anything we can ever do, we'd love to kind of meet up face to face. If you ever want to come down to California and get a little sunny, dude, my home is your home.
So you have quite a few fans at my fire department. And then I told them I was doing this. Like, man, you got to go down and train with them. I'm like, you know what? If I could get the chance, I'd love to come down and train with you. It'd be awesome.
Dude, the boys make the noise. I'm actually friends with a lot of the fire departments locally. So I'll go work out with them. Sometimes I'll put the kits on, do the workouts and stuff. You guys are savages. So yeah, dude, tell everybody at the firehouse I say hi. I'll send some extra up there for the whole team.
How are you, man?
We're very grateful, man. I think anybody who's listening to this can learn a ton from this guy. He's the best in the world for a reason. Go watch his content. Go see the insane capacity that this guy has. He will be an inspiration to help push you guys forward in your next race. And Jason, is there anything else you want to kind of share with anybody before we head out?
You know what? I'm more than happy to help people along their journey. Like, that's how I got to where I am. I reached out to people and they helped me. So I just feel like I have to return the favor. So I'm more than happy to, you know, give some advice or some tips or whatnot. So yeah, feel free to reach out.
Jason, my buddy Caleb wants me to ask you, he says, if my life was on the line, do I think that I could tackle you? Now, somebody like myself, I've got like a wrestling background. I'm pretty tough. Do you think with your amount of level of rugby, and this isn't like you versus me, just any freaking thick ass dude coming after you could knock you over? Or are you just such a stocky bastard that you could just basically stand there like a tree?
Nah, you know, I'm not that stocky, but you know, when I need to be, I'm pretty mean. So if I know my life
is
on the line.
Is that what you're known for out there?
You know, well, again, I wasn't the biggest guy, although I just said how much I weighed. Like, I was literally, like, for my position, like, quite small compared to others. And, and when I'm going against, like, some Islanders who are literally, like, double my size, you have to kind of, like, you know, suck it up and realize, hey, look, this is going to be painful, but, you know what, if you hit them harder than they hit you, they'll respect you.
Leave you alone.
Yeah.
Dude, that is awesome, man. I would love to go watch you in a match. But, dude, I'll go back through, see if I can find some video of you online. Thank you so much for your morning, man. It was a pleasure to get to know you. And massive respect for all the work you've done. It's incredible, dude. Those times are freakish. I'll do my best to make you proud this season.
Cheers, Hunter. I appreciate it, man. I'm excited to watch you in your world record attempt. So, yes, wish you the best of luck.
All muscle and hustle, baby. Ryan, I'll be in touch soon. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Jason, we'll catch up with you soon, brother.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan. Yeah, thanks, Hunter. See you guys.
See you, brother.
Yeah, bye. Yeah, thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Thank you.